Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
thoughts on how a simple circuit like a battery and light globe actually work. Now, if you ask a student what actually happens in a battery and light bulb circuit, they'll tend to say a few things. Well, a battery just works. It just is a source of electrons, and those electrons drift through the wires, and then they push through a piece of wire in the filament, which gives some light, and then they continue back to the battery. How does the battery work? Well, they will tell you a battery converts chemical to electrical energy. So in all of these things, there's sort of some problematic things. One is the way which they have been trained to give a certain explanation, which really doesn't tell you all that much. You could make that as a rearrangement, a statement of observation that a battery has chemicals, and a battery provides provides electricity, and when it runs out of the chemicals, therefore, it's sort of heuristic arguments there. And do electrons drift around the circuit? Do they flow at a constant rate? How does that happen? Which is rather surprising, because if electrons drifting around, they would take a time for it to move, the actual drift of electrons. It's an okay idea, but the actual thing which travels down a circuit is the electric field. The electric field is the main thing that travels down a circuit. We'll try and discuss that a little bit in this one, where I add a bit more detail. Now, I've previously described the battery as a zinc negative electrode, a paste, which is a salt with some hydrogen ions in it, and a central core, positive core electrode, which is a carbon, which makes the positive electrode. And what happens is that electrons depart the zinc anode on their journey around the circuit and release zinc ions, which make their way inside the battery. There is a positive current flow inside the battery, chemical positive current flow to the positive electrode, which has hydrogen. And as the zinc moves in, the hydrogen at the electrode absorbs an electron and forms hydrogen gas. So the positive charges move inside the battery, and the negative charges move outside the battery, and they unite, and hydrogen gas is produced in the battery, and that flows away, and that is driven by the actual electric field of electrons falling into that hydrogen gas, less the amount of energy to remove electrons from zinc metal. So if it was copper metal, it would be a less effective battery. If it was, say, lithium, it would be a more effective battery on the inside as things go forward. That's a simple battery. And so why it works is that how a battery provides power is that electrons fall into protons, a group of protons, and as it does so, it pulls electrons around the circuit, and it pulls protons, positive charges, towards this interface, and the positive charges eventually come from the wall of the battery. So you can run out. So there's that aspect, which for some reason is, I think, the first call, like, you teach students to give a particular answer which is up to the level of your knowledge, and that's all anyone knows. And if you say provide a deeper explanation at any one point in time, it'll be a sort of upset. I can almost see people shrug their shoulders, turn their head away. If you want to ask more, or if students ask you on the slide, look, can you pretty well explain this to me for a deeper explanation, they'll eventually go and you'll find yourself undermined later on. But what can you say? I think at this point in history, it's important that you actually do give correct and deeper explanations out. And it's horses for courses or things to the environment. So it's actually best to perhaps shut up about it. Now, the important thing is that you can draw an electric field line, a dipole electric field line around a battery. And this is an important thing to do. If you hold a battery, you should be able to draw field lines which emerge from the base of the battery. Well, you know, look, let's be brutally honest here. The electric field lines go from the a nude battery, a battery just sitting on the shelf. Electric field lines go from the positive terminal. I'm thinking of a AA or AAA battery. It goes from the positive terminal a few millimetres across to where the negative terminal is. If you really wanted to push it, you could actually connect it there. But you could say, look, I'm only going to have reduce it such to start off with the negative. All the field lines emerge from the base of the battery and then go around to emerge from the top of the battery, the positive move around in that beautiful dipole moment to the negative end of the battery. You can imagine a battery made that way. The important thing is that if you then provide a conductor, that conductor will carry electrons in it. The electrons will move inside that conductor along field lines along inside that conductor. Because it is a conductor, and those electrons will move to that, and that they will be the reception point of the field line. So field lines start at a positive charge and end at a negative charge, and charges will tend to follow those field lines. So if you put a conductor on the positive electrode and a conductor on the negative electrode, I suppose the field lines will pretty well ignore it until you actually bring those wires in close proximity. Field lines will then bunch up. The charges will move along those field lines inside the conductor along to the edges until the wire, the tip and bottom of the wire, will have electrons and positive charges on either side as the charges have moved in response to the field lines, and the field lines will concentrate between the two wires, and so there will be a build-up due to the electric field pulling electrons. The electrons will build up just on the wire just beneath the positive wire, and you have the positive wire bending over. And if you bring it together, you can actually get a little arc spark, and you can actually do a little spark, two little wires to spark. Indeed, this is best to actually build students' view of the electric field. And so as soon as you connect it, the electrons will move in the wire. Or you could say they move in the wire. So electrons are very large. And what will happen is that at very high, it's hard to say what the drift speed of electrons is. It's the number of coulombs per second going past a particular point in a wire as the current, and that will be the same all the way throughout the number of coulombs passing per second. Second there, I just want to build it up. So I suppose the important thing is that the wires modify the electric field lines coming out of the battery such that they concentrate between the end of the tips of the wires. And on that, I should see if I can describe it anymore. You put a resistor. Now, the way that we tend to teach it at school is show the Drude model and show the electrons ballistically bouncing off the iron cores and creating vibration. Now, there's a Fermi version of this in quantum mechanics where you've got the electrons in a metal. Metals are, by definition, crystalline. This corresponds to crystalline is a repeated array. The potential is repeated. So that allows a electron, which has a particular wave function, being able to extend throughout the crystal. And these electrons in the electric field get promoted to higher energies or higher speeds, a higher momentum in the direction of the field. And then they undergo a fermion collision, and so they drop down in momentum space, transferring their energy to the lattice. Now, the important thing is that it means is that your electron is a large object spanning hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of electrons, and it's got a particular shape which is distorted by the electric field, which takes it up to up to a higher energy or exposes a lower energy state, and then it can drop to the lower state, but in doing so it creates a vibration or is coupled to a vibration in a in the lattice, and there is actually a transfer of momentum between the electron and the lattice. And that's necessarily the lower energy state is shaped by the vibrational energy of the lattice, and you get a transfer of momentum as it drops down energy states. So that transfers heat directly to it, but it also generates some lights that drop down transfer to the lattice. So that's the best I can describe it at this time of night. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.